Ezras Hashem Beli Neder. Let's finish Shas together. This morning's learnings dedicated to Le'ili Nishmas. Avi Mori, Rav David Svi Ben Rav Yosef. Today's daf is Yuma Daf Samach Zayin. And we left off at the Mishnah, at the very bottom of Samach Vav, Amud Beis, two lines from the bottom. Says the Hail Gemara, good morning, Reb Zalman and Dovzi and Avi and Tzvika and Chana Chedach and Shlomo David and Dr. Joe and Reb Mordechai. Says the Mishnah, Miyakide Yerushalayim. We once had a boy in our yeshiva who attended a yeshiva in Geula. If you ever walk down, if you ever drive down or walk down the main drag in Geula from the top, going down to the bottom, the main street, Rechov Malchei Yisrael, you'll see on your right side a big Sephardi yeshiva called Yakire Yerushalayim. Miyakire Yerushalayim, why was it called? From this Gemara, that's why Yakire Yerushalayim, the elders, the precious, the holy ones, the special Jews of Jerusalem, Yakar, Haben Yakir Li Ephraim, Miyakire Yerushalayim, they used to take from the Chasheva Jews who lived in Jerusalem, Hayum Alavin also, Ad Sukkah Rishona, they would accompany the guy sending the goat off the cliff, they would accompany him to the first booth, which they were going to see. There were Eser Sukkos, says the Mishnah, Eser Sukkos Mirushalayim Vadatzuk. There were 10 booths from Jerusalem till the cliff that the Azazel was thrown off of. Why would they take the Chasheva Jews of Yerushalayim to accompany him? So some say because this malacha was viewed as a very disgraceful act. That's why we read in the last Mishnah they used to either pluck the hair of the guy or they would pluck the hair of the animal. Get out of here to get my sins out of here. So nobody wanted to do this malacha to be the guy carrying the aveiros of Klal Yisrael. Nobody wanted to be the representative of this. So they had the Chasheva Jews of Yerushalayim to make that, to people realize that this is really a Chasheva act. It's a mitzvah. It's important to do that get people to do it. The Netziv says like that. Other Achronim say that the reason they had to have the Yakire Yerushalayim was just because they didn't want the guy going out alone. It was like dangerous to like go out by himself. So they would have Chasheva people to accompany him, as Reb Zalman said last time, that this is there should be a maimed, there should be a people doing it, that he shouldn't be alone, he shouldn't be scared to take this goat out on a lonely trip all the way out there by himself. Tishim Ris. Eser Sukkos Mirushalayim Vad Suk Tishim Ris. It was a distance of 90 ris. This is a certain measurement. Shiva Umechza L'chol Meal. 7.5 ris is each meal. So it turns out there was a total of 12 meal. 90 divided by 7.5 is 12. So there was 12 meal. Each meal is 2,000 amos, which is going to be very important for a second. So there were 11 travels, between the total of 12 meal, like 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4, right? Except that as the Mishnah states, says the Mishnah, I'll call sukkah v'sukkah, there were people stationed at each of these booths, and each of them would accompany him to the next booth. So each of them were only allowed to walk 2,000 amos. The last one, everybody walked only 1,000 amos, and 2,000 amos, and he would walk actually 4,000. The last one from the last booth till the tzuk was 2,000 amos. The last 2,000 amos, he would walk by himself, and the other people who accompanied him would only walk one tchum Shabbos, one meal, 2,000 amos, and then they would watch, as the Mishnah is going to state in a moment. The people accompanying him would not walk out of the Tchum Shabbos. But the guy himself, he would do the last 2,000 amos. He would violate the Tchum Shabbos, as we learned before. Iti afilu b'Shabbos. That the Ish Iti, he was allowed to violate Shabbos. So says the Me'iri. And this will become clear in a moment. I'll call sukkah v'sukkah omen lo hari mazan hari mai. At every booth, they would tell the guy, if you're tired, if you're weak, here's food and drink, even though it's Yom Kippur. You are allowed to eat on, here's food and drink if you should need it. Umalavin also, misukkah l'sukkah, there were people at each station, who would accompany him from one to the next. Chutz me'achrenjim, except for the last station, she'enu magiim ad letzuk. The last station was 4,000 amas away. It was 2 mil, 4,000 amas away from the cliff. Ella omid me'rochuk v'roes masav. So the last group would accompany him halfway, and then they would stand there and watch to see what he would do. So, a few things here. Now, it says that they would offer him food, but the Mishnah is going to say later on, no one ever took them up on it. Now, Rashi... So Rashi writes, why would they offer him food and drink? So Rashi says that because they would offer him food and drink, and he would know they would have pas pasalo should he need it, so that would help him out. He shouldn't get nervous that he wasn't going to have any food. But so some of the Acharonim and Medayik in Rashi, that Rashi held that actually he was not allowed to, and again, obviously if he was deathly ill, so then he was allowed to eat the food and drink. But it wasn't that like if he was feeling a little weak, he was allowed to eat the food and drink. He wasn't allowed to. But the fact that he knew that he had it would make it easier for him. That's what Rashi seems to say. Dibur Maskel Hare. Take a look at the Rashi. Hare Mayim. It's about one-third of the way down the page. Hare Mayim. B'gemar b'farsh, ain't dumb yishish pas b'sal misha ain't lo. That you can't compare a guy that knows he has bread in his basket to a guy that doesn't have. It's pas pasalo. So the mere fact that we'd offer him the food, that would help him out. But it's not that he actually was allowed to eat or drink the food. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam says, no. The Rambam in Avodas Yom Kippur and Perakim Halacha Zayin writes, if he got weak and he needed to eat, he ate. He was allowed to eat. Even if he's not in a sakana. If he's in a sakana, everyone agrees he's allowed to eat. It's not one of the three averis that's doche, right? But even if he wasn't in a sakana, so Rashi says they would just offer him food, but he wasn't really allowed to eat it. And the Rambam says he was allowed to eat it. As long as he, even if he wasn't in a sakana, but if he was feeling weak, he's allowed to eat the food. We don't want to wait till he's in a sakana because then he won't be able to do it. The Teferis Yisrael talks about this, whether or not the mitzvah, why should the mitzvah, right, the Teferis Yisrael asks Akasha, if we know that the mitzvah of pushing him off the cliff was not ma'akiv b'di'evit, even if you didn't push him off the cliff, you're still yotze, so why are you allowed to violate Shabbos, and why are you allowed to violate Yom Kippur by eating in order to be mekayim the mitzvah of dechiyasa letzuk? So, you have to say that, well, even though it wasn't ma'akiv b'di'evit, but since we have this drasha iti afilu b'Shabbos that it violated Shabbos and it violated the other things, so it would violate the mitzvah achila and Yom Kippur as well. Seems like, right? Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that it sounds like these things are connected. That the kapara the Klal Yisrael got and the Isser Malacha and the eating, all of it was all part of the Kedushas Hayom of Yom HaKippurim. So since the Avoda of Yom Kippur, even though it wasn't Ma'ake, but it was part of the Avoda of Yom Kippur, so it would push away. You're even allowed to eat, according to the Rambam, even allowed to eat if it helped you to be able to do the Avoda of pushing it off the Tzuk. Okay, let's continue. Now, why would people have to watch him? So the Zohar writes that the person who they would get to do this job was Taka a Pugum. You know, they would take the lowliest members of Klal Yisrael to do this. So somebody had to watch him to make sure he did it right and make sure they really did it. Others say people were watching to see, in a minute we'll see, whether the crimson... All right. The reason why they did not have the guy accompanying him all the way is because they did not want people to see whether or not the crimson ribbon turned white or not. We'll see in a minute why that's so. So they wouldn't go all the way there. Let's see. Says the Mishnah further. Ma haya osa. What would the guy do when he got to the cliff? Cholek lashon shel zohar. So apparently he was carrying a crimson a crimson ribbon. And we'll see in a minute, how is he, right, the Tosfos Shem asked, how in the world was he allowed to carry that out there? We'll get there in a second. So, Cholek Lashon Shel Zohar, he would split the crimson ribbon in two. Chetzio Kasher B'Tzela, Tzela, half of it he would tie just to a rock on the top of the cliff. V'Chetzio Kasher Ben Shnei Karnav, and the other half he would tie in between the two horns of the Seir. Dachvo L'Achorav, he would push it off. Right, that's true. Yeah, that's, or he would just divide it. I don't know if he was, yeah. Iti afilu b'Shabbos, right? So it's even violate Shabbos, correct? V'dachvo l'achorav. I was wondering about that also. V'dachvo l'achorav. He pushed it off the cliff backwards. He's also killing the animal, right? That's also asur on Shabbos. But no, it's like a carbon, right? It's like a carbon. A carbon, you're allowed to slaughter the carbon on Shabbos. That's the avoda. Dachvo l'achorav. V'um isgalgel v'yored. He would roll down the cliff. He didn't even get halfway down the cliff. He became completely dismembered. So then the guy would go back, walk back another 4,000 amos to the last sukkah, to the last booth until dark. He would wait till the end of Yom Kippur. Tosis Yishanim asks, how did he carry the Lashon out there? Even if he placed it on the animal, he's going to violate the Isser Mechamer, which is leading an animal to carry something. So he has two explanations. Number one, maybe they brought the ribbon there from Erev Yom Kippur. They left it at the Tzuk. Or, no, it was tied on the head of the goat, and it's mechamer kelachar yad. It's a shinui. It's not the normal way for the animal to go out. It's mechamer shelo kederech. So for the mitzvah, they permitted it. Maybe it's only this drabbanim, but makom mitzvah they weren't gozer. Like we said in Maseches Pesachim. Remember in Pesachim we talked about how did they carry the knife if erev Pesach fell on a Shabbos and they tied it up in the hair of the animal. So some make that connection here too. The Achronim say that they carried the animal outside the Tchum for the Shechit of the Korban Pesach if Yudala fell out on Shabbos. Okay. And the last point. Okay, let's continue. Ume'emasai mitame begodim. At what point would the mishalech, the guy who was carrying out, would he become tamei? Right, the Torah says hamishalech is sasa'il azalzeh yichabis begadav. He would become tamei, and his begadim would become tamei. So, at what point would that happen? Once he left the city of Jerusalem, Rabbi Shimon Omer mishas techiyasa letzuk. No, from the time that he pushed it off the cliff, says the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, Esa Sukkos Shneimasar Milin Hayu. There were 10 booths and it was a total of 12 meal. Divrei Rabbi Meir, right? Because they were, so therefore from Yushalayim to booth number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 to the 10th booth, and then there was 2 meal, 4,000 amos, from the 10th booth to the Tzuk. So that's how it worked, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Teisha Sukkos, Vasara milin. He says, no, there were only 9 booths and it was only a total of 10 mil. Rabbi Yossi Omer, right, our Mishnah was like Rameir. Rabbi Yossi, Stam Mishnah is Rameir. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Chomesh Sukkos, Vasara milin hayu. There were only 5 booths and 10 mil. The distance between each sukkah was only Chomesh Vasara milin. Right. Vekulin ayde eruv. But according to Rabbi Yossi, they would put an Erev Tchumin at the 2,000 Amma mark between each two sukkahs. So you only needed 5 sukkahs, and it was a total of 10 meal. Because you had food, right? Remember we learned in Erevin, if you place food 2,000 Ammas outside the city, so then you could walk from booth to booth, because you could walk 2,000 Ammas to the food, and then another 2,000 Ammas to the next booth. So you only really needed 5 booths, not 10 booths.
Ayda Erev. Amr Rabbi Yossi, Sachli Elazar Bini, my son Elazar, joked to me, Im Ayda Erev, if you tell me that we were using Erev Tchumin, Yicholani Lassos Afilu Shtei Sukkos, Vasara Milan. I could just accomplish it with two Sukkos. How would you do that? You count four meal from Yerushalayim and you would place the first, that's 8,000 amos. Four meal, you would place the first sukkah, four meal outside, and then another four meal and put the second sukkah. And that would leave you two meal up to the tzuk. So the people of Yerushalayim would put an Erev Tchumen outside the city so they could walk him 4,000 amos, and the people in the first sukkah would put an Erev, and they would meet him at 4,000 amos. So you really only needed two sukkahs, because you put one sukkah at four mil, which is 8,000 amos, so that he had one entourage that would walk 4,000 amos out, because they would have one Erev, and then the guys in the first sukkah would have an Erev, so they would come 4,000 and bring him to that one, and they would be able to, and then you'd have people from the second sukkah, same story. That would meet him 4,000 amos. If you do the math, so then everybody would be able to, you could really accomplish it with two sukkahs. Says the Gemara, once you're using Erevs, you could just have Erevs every 2,000 amos, and different people would walk 4,000 to accompany him. You'd be able to work it out. Keman az lahad desanya, who is the following brisa going like? Chutz me achon sheben. That at every sukkah, the people of that sukkah would accompany him to the next sukkah, except for the last sukkah, where they didn't want to accompany him all the way. They would only accompany him 2,000 amos, and they would watch him. Come on, Rabbi Meir. Only according to Rabbi Meir, the last guy wouldn't bring him to the sukkah, right? According to everybody else, they would accompany him all the way. I'll call sukkah v'se'om la'ari mozan reimayim. Tanabe olu l'hutzach odom l'kach. Oh, this is where Rashi based himself on. No one ever ate the food. Ella, she'en adoma, she'esh lo pas pesalo, mi she'en lo pas pesalo. No one ever actually needed the food. No one actually, but just the knowing that he could use it if he needed it, that helped him. So Rashi quotes this, and the achronim of Medayik and Rashi, that he wasn't really actually allowed to eat it unless he was in sakanas nefashas. He would divide the crimson ribbon in two. Says the Gemara, why do you have to divide the crimson ribbon in two? Viniktere kule besela. Why don't you just tie the whole thing onto the rack? Why do you have to tie it onto the goat at all? Says the Gemara, kevan de mitzvah besair. We're afraid. Dilma kadim umal ben umias vedaite. If you tied the whole ribbon to the rack, we're afraid maybe the crimson thread will turn white before you throw him off the cliff, and the guy will be so excited that the sins of Klal Yisrael were forgiven, that it turned white, the miracle happened that it turned white, that he would forget to actually chuck him off the cliff. So therefore, they wanted him to focus on pushing him off the cliff, so half the ribbon was on the animal. Maybe it would turn white anyway. No, but since half the ribbon was on the animal, so he was going to be focused on the animal. We're not afraid that he's going to forget to push it off the cliff. Says the Gemara, "Viniktere kule bein karnav." Okay, so then why don't you put the whole thing, the whole ribbon, on the animal's head? Says the Gemara, "Zimnin degamish leilereishay v'lava daite." Sometimes when pushing it off the cliff, the head would become buried under the rest of the animal, and you wouldn't be able to see whether or not the crimson thread turned white. So you had half of it on top so that it would turn white as well. Tan Rabbanan, Rabbis taught in the Braisa. But Rishona, Yekoshin, Loshin, Shal, Zahoris, Al Pesach, Ulam, Mibachutz. Originally, they would tie one crimson ribbon on the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash on the outside so that all of Klal Yisrael could see it. Al Pesach, Ulam, Mibachutz. Hilbin, are you smechin? If it turned white, everybody was happy. Lo hilbin, are you atzuvin? Umizbaishin. If it wouldn't turn white, they were sad and they would be embarrassed that they were wicked people, so wicked that they weren't zocha, that their averos were going to be forgiven. So the rabbis instituted that they would tie it on the entrance of the Beis Hamikdash inside. They would try to somehow sneak a peek inside the ulam and see. So they instituted that they would tie half of it on the rack and half of it between the karnayim, and so you wouldn't have all the people seeing if it got white or not. The Yushalmi says that originally every person would tie their own crimson ribbon on their own house in all of Israel, and they would get their own personal message whether or not their averas were forgiven, whether their tshuva was legit or not. But then that wasn't good. And we want people to be happy in Yom Kippur, but not too happy, because we also wanted to make sure that they did tshuva. So therefore, they didn't want everybody seeing the ribbon. Amar Rabbi Nachman bar Papa Mishum Rabbi Lazar Akapar. Barishona Yikosh Nosh Zos Apesach Olam Bifnim. They used to do it on the inside. Kevin Shigia Sar La Midbar Hayam Albin. Once the Sar got to the Midbar, it would turn white. V'yadu, in the basement, they knew Shekvar Nasis Mitzvaso. They already knew that they had Kapara V'Nasis Mitzvaso. So now the Kohen Gadol can continue with his avoda. Shenemar, im yuchat echem kashanim kashela yalbinu. If your sins will be like crimson, they will turn white. So that's why the color white is very much associated with Yom Kippur. We all wear white based on this pasuk. Im yuchat echem kashan kashel yalbinu, because the crimson ribbon used to turn white, indicating the purity and the cleanliness of Klal Yisrael, that we became pure from our sins. Lo hayom agil lamachtis ahar, it wouldn't get halfway down the mat until it turned into pieces. The animal would get dismembered. Yibaylu, osen evarim, those limbs, mahin ba'ana. You couldn't eat it because it didn't have shechita, but could you feed it to your animal? Are you allowed to get hana out of those limbs of the broken sar la'azazel? Ravu shmuel charam amutarin. One opinion said you're allowed to get hana, v'chad amar asurin. One of them said it's asur b'ana. Mando amar mutarin. Dichsev b'midbar v'shilach es hasar b'midbar. It's like a midbar where everything's open for everybody to use. It's hefker lakol, so it's mutar b'ana. Umando amar asurin dichsev gzeira. That v'nosa asar lev is called el eretz gzeira, to a destroyed land. So it's asur b'ana. The Rashash asks, why isn't it Batal Barov? There's a lot of limbs of animals all over the place. Why wouldn't you say Batal Barov? So it sounds like even if it's Batal Barov, it's still not a good thing. Maybe even if it would be Batal, it's not good to eat it. Even if something's Batal Barov, this may connect to the Machlokas Arishonim. How do we view Bittel Barov, right? If you have one treif salami that got mixed up in two kosher salamis. So there's four opinions in Rishon on what the halacha is. One opinion says you're allowed to eat two of them, but you're not allowed to eat all three. Because if you eat all three, you're for sure having treif. Other opinion says, no, you're allowed to eat all three, but three different people are allowed to eat all three. Three different people. Each guy is allowed to say, oh, I'm relying on that this one's the kosher one. A third opinion says, no, the same guy could eat all three, but not at the same time. First, he could eat one. Then he could eat the second one, because each one's a suffix. Then he could do it. The fourth opinion says, no, you're allowed to eat all three things, pile them up one on top of the other, eat them all at the same time. Bittel Barov means that the Isser becomes Heter. It's Batel, right? It's Batel, one and three. That's a Machlokas HaRishonim. So this opinion seems to say, no, that even if he gets mixed up, even if it gets mixed in, maybe it would still be a problem. Says the Gemara, Uman de Omar Asurin, Hai Midbar my Avadle. What does it do with the word Midbar, which seems to say a heter? Miboylech desanya. Hamidbara, send it to the Midbar. Hamidbara, another pasuk, by Midbar three times. Larabos, no vigivon. When the Mishkan was in no vigivon, they would do the Azazel. Shiloh, when the Mishkan was in Shiloh, Ubeis Olamim. And the Beis HaMikdash, any place where the Mishkan was, they would do this service of the Sar La'azazel. V'idach, And the other opinion, the opinion who says we learn from Midbar that it's mutabana, hi gzeir my avidle. What does he do with the word gzeira? It sounds like a strictness. It had to be a cliff that was not smooth. It was a jagged cliff. It's talking about the animal. The animal had to get dismembered. Third shot. This doesn't sound like Judaism, throwing an animal off the cliff as a gift to the Satan. This doesn't sound like Judaism. So maybe you'll tell me that this people will come to say what a ridiculous service this is. Tamalom ani Hashem gizartiv. It's a gzeira in front of me. Ah, this week's parsha zos chukas haTorah. What a daf yomi coincidence, as we'll see in a minute. Gzeira yiva in lachavishus laharban. It's a gzeira. It's a chok, and you don't have a. You can't argue on it. Don't say that this is not a real service. Don't say that this is not a real service. Amar Rava, exactly. Oh, what a daf yomi coincidence. Amar Rava, Mistavra, Commander Amar, Mutard. It's logical, like the opinion says, that it's mutar banah to feed the limbs of the soil azazel to your animals. Loi Amar Torah shalach l'takala. Because the Torah is not going to tell you to do a mitzvah and cause you to do a sin. Because the body parts of this animal are going to be around. Someone's going to find them. And he's going to feed him to his animal. So it can't be. The Torah would not command us to send it out. And some unsuspecting person is going to find the limbs and not know what they are. And he's going to feed it to his animal. So and the guy's going to violate an aver. So it doesn't make sense that it should be usur bahana. Must be that it's in fact mutar bahana. Tana Rabbanan. What does the word azazel mean? Azazel shehi az v'kasha, that the place where you send it off it for should be a difficult terrain, should be rocky terrain. Yochol b'yishuv, you might think that it should be done, find a rocky terrain in the city. Tavad lomar b'midbar. It's got to be out where people don't live. Uminayin shebetzuk. How do you know that it's a sharp cliff? Tavad lomar gezerah. That it should get it's a chopped up area, it's a cliff. Tani idach azazel kasha shebaharim. Az means it's a strong, difficult mountain. El is also language of difficulty. V'cheinu omer ves ele ha'aretz lakach. He took the toughest people from the land. Tani d'vir Rabbi Shmuel azazel shemechaper al maise uza va'azael. So it atones for Gili Arayos, the actions of Uzzah and Azazel, who were the Bnei Elohim, Vayir Bnei Elohim Espinosa Adam Kitova Seina. The whole mabul started because people like Uzzah and Azazel, these Malachi Chavala, came down and caused the people to sin with Gili Arayos. We see there's a big connection between Gili Arayos and Yom Kippur. That's why we read the parashas of Arayos, Yom Kippur in the afternoon. Why Dafka this Aveira? All Aveiras, the Tosfos Yeshanim asks. What do you mean? All Aveiras are atoned for in Yom Kippur. Maybe because Gili Arayos is the one that people have the biggest taiva for. But Kal Vachomer, all the other ones. So the Achronim try to work on that question about why specifically it says over here that it's Mechaper for that. The Gvuras Ari asks, the Gvuras Ari, the Shagas Ari, Sarim HaShtalecha was Mechaper not only on Gili Arayos, all sins. So the Siach Yitzchak writes, it's true, but Gili Arayos is just because the word Azazel hints to that, but it's really all the other Aveiros, or maybe because that's the most frequent, the most common sin. Right, the Pasuk says about Uzzah and Azazel, Vayir B'neiho Elohim Espinosa Adam Kitovo Seina, Vayikolem Noshim Mikol Hashem Bacharu. Rashi quotes it. The Medrash says, Ki nicham diki asisim, on the creation of animal, on a man and animal. So it's because people were involved in Gili Arayos, that's why the world was destroyed by the time of the Mabul. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. Mamish from having to do with this week's parasha. Es mishpatai tasu. You have to keep my mishpatim. That those are the laws that make sense. Even if it weren't written in the Torah, you'd have to keep them. These are the averas that make sense. Avodah zarah, gili arayos, shvichas damim, killing people, stealing, and birkas Hashem, cursing, chas v'shom, rachmon al-san, the Rabbon Shalom. Es chukosai tishmoru, zos chukas ha-Torah, dvarm sha-satan meishiv aleihem, that the Satan says, oh, come on, these mitzvahs are ridiculous, they don't make any sense. Ve'eluhain, what are examples of those? Achilas chazir, eating pig, ulevishas shatnez, wool and linen, chalitzas yavama, taras mitzora, v'taras mitzora, v'sarah mishtaleach, and the goat sent off the cliff to Azazel is an example of a chok, doesn't make any sense. So, Shema Tomar Maisei Tohem, maybe you'll say these chukim don't make any sense. Why does Judaism require you to do these things that don't make any sense? Tamalomar ani Hashem chakaktiv, I established these mitzvos, ve'ein lecha rishus lahara b'ahed, you have no permission to ask on them. Says the Marsha, why does the Braisa choose these averas that are don't make any sense? The Braisa chose only those things that things seem contradictory, meaning that each of these chukim has something that's similar that's permissible. Besar chazir, even though the Torah says it's also to eat pig, but there's this shibuta fish which had the same taste as the chazir, the Gemara says. So the Torah forbade the chazir, but it permitted the eating of the shibuta fish. Wearing shatnez is mutter in tzitzis and in the big day kahuna. Chalitzas yavama is mutter. Chalitzas yavama is mutter by the mitzvah of yibum. Taharas mitzora, bringing the two birds. One bird is there's two birds. One bird is sent away and one bird is shechted. Sari mishtaleach, you bring two goats. One is Lashem for a carbon and one is Lazazel. So that's why these things don't seem to make any sense. Ah, and the Marsha says right over here, why didn't it bring Para Aduma from this week's Parsha? That's the ultimate chok. Why didn't it bring Para Aduma? Because that's a chok that has nothing similar to it that actually does make sense. That's why it just quotes pig and not the other machal sasuras, because pig is the only one that has shibuta fish opposite it that tastes the same way. Hashem always wanted us to have a little taste of even those things that we're not allowed to do. Okay. Well, no, because those make sense. What do you mean? Those there's nothing. Okay. These mitzvahs, ein lecha rishus lahara, but the other mitzvahs you should, because you'll ultimately find the right, you'll find the svara by those. So you can ask and analyze all you want. But by these, you have no rishus to question them. Emasai mitami begadim. When would the ish iti, when would his begadim become tame? Tana rabbanim. It's only the one carrying it out there and not the Kohen Gadol who sent him out in the first place. No, not the Kohen Gadol, sorry. The people who accompanied him with it, they would not be Mitami Begadim. You might think that already when he leaves the Beis HaMikdash, it's Tumas Begadim, Tamar Lomar, HaMishaleach. It's only once he leaves Jerusalem. You might think that his begadim don't become tamei until he gets to the cliff. The vav teaches me already from the beginning. Hakeit said, once he gets out of the wall of the city of Jerusalem, that's when his begadim would become tamei. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi Omer Azazel v'kibes. No. He wouldn't become tummy until he gets to the cliff. Rabbi Shimon of Amishalech still has us. Yichabis begodim. Zorko bevas rosh, but umetami begodim. Only once you chuck him off the cliff, then he is mitame his begadim. One other thing, I happened to be listening to Rabbi Leibowitz yesterday. They talk about whether or not tying the ribbon onto the selah, is that a malacha of kosher, or tying the ribbon onto the azazel? So there's a discussion of kesher shel kayam. It's never going to become untied, right? So that's a question. He quoted a Mariel Diskin, a big chiddush, which we don't really follow, that if you tie something that it's going to be tied forever, but you only need the tie for a short amount of time. So the Mariel Diskin paskins, that wouldn't be a paskin. So that might answer the question over here, how you could tie it on the head of the animal, even though it's never going to become untied, but you only need it for a few seconds. That's a question. Usually we don't paskin like that. If it's going to be forever, even if you only need it for a few minutes, but in the end, it's, let's say you tie your garbage bags up and you throw it into the, you know, so is that a problem, tying your garbage bags on Shabbos? A lot of people are makbid. I'm makbid not to tie it with a kesher shel kayama, maybe make a bow or something, but not to tie it with something that's going to last forever, because even though the garbage men are going to throw it into the truck, whenever it's going to last for a long time. So that's a question where that's probably not. Okay, Rabosai, we'll stop here. Everyone should have a wonderful day. We'll see you, Bez Hashem, tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everybody.